Okay, hello from Citrix Synergy 2015. This is Brian Madden, and I'm on the Expo Hall floor in the Orlando Convention Center in the TechTarget booth. So
desperately wish it was the Swan and Dolphin, since we're here in Orlando, but I guess the Orange County Convention Center, whatever we'll do.
So that's Gabe Knuth.
You old guys.
And there's Jack.
Said with much love.
Speaking of old guys, I don't think I said this in the podcast before, but this month, May, is my official 20-year anniversary in the IT industry. I first started in May of 1995.
Back when defrag was a thing.
I was doing LAN-tastic networks, all 10Base2 coax, a lot of installing CD-ROM drives, installing sound cards, installing...
Windows by floppy?
Oh my god. I did NT4 by floppy. I mean, that's like 36 disks or something like that. Okay, so I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the chat room. I assume you all can hear us.
Wow.
We're streaming. Everything's good. Justin's giving us the heads up, so Justin's here, our engineer. Okay, keynote's over. We have not rehearsed any of this. Let's discuss initial thoughts.
ZenApp 6.5 being extended to 2017. I don't know why this sticks out as the biggest thing. I mean, they demoed Workspace Cloud and all of these things, but I really think that ZenApp 6.5 lifecycle being extended to 2017 with the addition of a feature pack and inclusion in Storefront 3 in the new receiver means that Citrix is finally sort of caving a little bit and saying, all right, we're going to stop trying to drag you guys along. We'll help you, give you enough time to get you to move to ZenApp 7.6.
Yeah, and that to me was huge. I mean, the fact that they added the feature pack is...
Right. The fact that they extended the lifecycle, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then the feature pack, and I'm like, no way.
Yeah, like they... purposely, I mean, it really is an indictment, if I can use such a word, on how little traction ZenApp 7 has gotten. Because they, you know, we all know that ZenApp 7 and 7X, you know, went to FMA instead of IMA, and they lost a bunch of features. And they've been adding feature packs to that. They announced another feature pack for ZenApp 7.6 to sort of add more and more features that were taken out. But, you know, Citrix really took it big time. People were pissed about the features that were lost in ZenApp 7. And so for them to extend, we've always sort of joked about, actually we've done articles about this, on what are you going to do when your ZenApp 6.5 runs out. So 2017, who knows when in 2017, but it's at least another 18 months.
But the question is that 18 months or whatever it is that enough time, or are we going to be having the same conversation in 2017?
Well, I think yes.
The real thing,
write the article now.
The real thing was... it wasn't so much that people... It's not that the migration was a problem. And Citrix did show up that migration service they have, and you can export your settings and import and everything.
What was that called?
The thing today?
Yeah, the migration service.
So that was part of Workspace Cloud. That was a... they call it Blueprints.
No. This is a 6.5 to 7 ZenApp migration tool. It's been around for 6 months. But here's the thing. The problem with ZenApp 7 was not getting there. It was not the actual migration. It's that ZenApp 7 literally was missing features that people relied on. And so the question is not whether we will be able to migrate, do the migration in 18 months. It's more of, will ZenApp 7 whatever, or 8 or 9 or whatever's out 12 months from now, will that have the features people need? We will assume yes. And then they can do the migration, you know, a year from now. But they kicked the can down the road. So anyone who's doing ZenApp 6.5 right now immediately can just set a reminder for 12 months from today, revisit it, and then see what they want to do. Either go to ZenApp 7 or ZenApp 8 or VMware Horizon 7 or whatever, you know, they're doing vWorkspace.
I want to check and see. I don't know off the top of my head, but what's the end of life date for Vista Server? Server 2008 R1. I mean, that I think is the top end of the ZenApp 6.5 support. So I think that's this year. And it's R2 that continues support on through 2020. So I think Citrix is going to be supporting this past the time when the OS is actually supported.
Which maybe people don't care about? I don't know.
I could be wrong, too.
Yeah. Okay, so other big stuff that was sort of in the keynote, I'm just going to come looking back to my live blog, it's about highlighted. But the receiver for Linux. So now this is like... MetaFrame for Linux, or MetaFrame for Unix, right?
So there's two things. So there was a receiver
for
Linux VDA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Linux VDA. It's you can publish Linux apps and Linux desktops.
And I think that, so right now this is starting with only the Red Hat derivative stuff like CentOS. Oh, and also the SUSE Linux stuff. So it's really the enterprise distributions of Linux that are out there. Basically, the only people that can use it today are those that are already enterprise Linux shops that have had to rely on VNC to connect remotely to their apps.
Yeah, I would have assumed, like, you know, like Linux World, haven't they probably already had something that they've been using for years that we just don't know about because we're more Windows
but
people?
It's nice because this integrates with everything else. So it's now the same delivery architecture, it's the same protocols, it's the same receivers, same clients. It's just the same way of doing things.
I mean, you could have been using, you know, Red Hat, Red Hat's platform with the Spice protocol or Virtual Bridges Verde or Nimbox, who has them now.
But it'd be a silo.
But you're using, yeah, exactly. So it's a completely separate desktop virtualization environment, a completely different protocol, new clients, new networking that you have to pay attention to.
A lot of
so
companies
this is all the same now.
Who need Linux, it's defined by the app. Like they've got one or two apps that are Linux or Unix apps, like it's their engineering thing, or like there's a lot of these in the government of Linux or and Unix apps. Well,
so it'll just be,
but they have two, they literally are doing that thing with two desktops where they either have a Linux desktop and they're remoting all their Windows apps, or they have, because no one, I don't want to say, I'll get in trouble for this, but like, no one uses a Linux desktop across the board. Like, you know, if you've got Linux apps, you're still using like Outlook and Office and stuff, you know? So now it's just, I've got the one or two Linux apps in the classic Citrix use case from 20 years ago, and now I can just deliver those remotely into whatever desktop platform my users actually want to use.
There is a potential future use case where if a company is more ahead of the curve and has the majority of their apps as web apps and can leverage webmail and things like that, companies could start not deploying Windows and start deploying Linux and still leverage that same infrastructure that they've got, that they've been using for all these years.
Let's move on to mobility. So this conference, I found this out when I was Googling for the hotel, and, you know, because you don't ever notice the title of a web page these days when you're browsing it, because it's like the title is inside the
it's
browser
in just
tab.
One tab.
But when you Google the results, you know, if you Google for Citrix Synergy, it says like Citrix Synergy 2015, the Enterprise Mobility Conference.
Yeah, I noticed that a while ago, and I'm like, heyo.
You've been promoted.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jack. You're man number one. And it's interesting because look at the Citrix Innovation Awards. There was four finalists they showed on stage, and four of the videos were about iPads, and three of them were about using Zen Mobile.
Yeah, and ShareFile.
Yeah. And they talked a lot about that kind of stuff today, and that's where I paid attention because I will just read your article. But what's significant from the keynote today?
Well, so you were asking about Zen Mobile 10 because they were talking about Zen Mobile 10, and I think they mentioned a few new things in Zen Mobile 10.1. Zen Mobile 10 came out, when was that? There's an article on that, but that's essentially the final re-architecting, combining everything together from the Zenprise MDM acquisition with the mobile app management stuff that came out of, you know, as Cloud Gateway when it first came out in Synergy 2012. So all of that is integrated, one package, fewer servers, easier to deploy.
People ShareFile part Twitter, of that, or is ShareFile a separate thing?
That is, ShareFile is still a separate thing, I believe.
I think so.
But it's the bottom line is everything from the mobile app management, mobile device management, all one modern platform. The responses everywhere are that people are loving it. Now the exciting news on the mobile side was with Citrix Receiver. Now as you know, like there's been for the last few years, there's been Receiver as well as Works Home, which is the MDM agent app, but also has like the mobile app store. But the exciting news today is that those are together in one app now.
You're talking about this is like, so for iOS, like I only need one app, and it's my MDM client, for like a better word, and the Citrix Receiver, and my work apps, like, yeah, Works Mail and
yeah,
file
you use it to get
that.
You use it to get your native, whatever other native mobile apps you have on your device there.
So did they actually announce anything new? Did they announce 10.1, or was that announced before? Everything they mentioned about Zen Mobile was stuff that had been announced or released already, right? And so this is just a recap.
They announced a few new apps, I think.
Oh, that's right. I've got a list of those.
They're in there somewhere. So, you know, they have the whole line of Works productivity apps, which are the native iOS and Android apps that are all slickly integrated with all of the
Works Tasks app. Yeah. There is Salesforce One, which is kind of funny because I'm sure there's already an app in the App Store called Salesforce. So this is like Salesforce One.
That's
like,
actually, it's so Salesforce One. It's one of their main clients, but basically it means that Salesforce One is now part of part of the Works app program. Which means that, like, if you're deploying Salesforce, you can make sure that the Salesforce client app is in the same, the same management bubble.
Okay,
as
so
all of your
so
other
Salesforce,
works apps.
So now like the main Salesforce One app in the iOS App Store, it like has a hook, so hook into Zen Mobile and everything.
So that's like part of their, all the EMM vendors have their continually expanding ecosystems of compatible apps. Another one that they showed up there on the screen that I tweeted about that I didn't know about before was Evernote, because Evernote, some of these real big popular consumerization centric apps, like people are saying like, hey, these app ecosystems are great, but like what about App X? And so to have Evernote also be part of that app ecosystem, it's kind of like a big win to say like, hey, look at all these big major apps that have the hooks to hook into Zen Mobile.
It's cool too because you don't have to now worry about migrating between one thing to another, because it's fine if you want to standardize on, say, OneNote, but if you've got a whole bunch of people using Evernote, you can't migrate their notes over very easily. I'm sure there's a way, but it's very difficult. I don't know if you've ever tried to copy a Evernote into a Word document. You can't export it. It's cut and paste. And it takes screenshots of your pictures, save them to the desktop, and then bring them into Word. So that's the migration process from Evernote. So having that kind of integration is really cool.
Yeah, and this is just something, it's just always kind of part of the process of adding more and more vendors to the ecosystem.
Such is the life of a...
One other mobile thing that I'll mention. So Mark Templeton also mentioned, he's like, hey, we have our suite of Works apps, but of course you need lots of other apps. And he mentioned a few mobile app development platform vendors that are partnering to work with Zen Mobile. And I'm really curious to see what their, like, how exactly the integration works, because like the idea is you're using these mobile app development platforms as like quicker and easier way to basically build your own in-house mobile apps. But then with some sort of Zen Mobile integration, presumably there's some way to have some deeper integration with like all the Zen Mobile management hooks. So that's something that I'll track down this week.
Cool.
Another new thing we saw was the sort of next generation receiver clients. And they showed us the HTML5 client, the Windows client, Mac, Linux client. And they showed how they can be completely customized. So in terms of custom branding, it's a unified UI across all of them. You can do things like, there's an API for this, so you can plug in your own buttons and controls, and like if you want a pop-up message like in the client app itself that says, by using this you agree, and that's the same message across all the platforms and that sort of thing.
The important thing to know there too is that the UX is actually separate from the application delivery bits. So when a new version of Receiver comes out that has new features, that's sort of shinned in there underneath, but you can still apply your UX customizations to that, or it's already done for you, which wasn't the case in the past. And it's kept a lot of people on older clients because they'd already made the customizations.
It's almost like that's just a configuration, and the new when an updated client comes out, it'll accept your same configuration for all your...
Yeah, and in fact, the user experience for that is actually delivered as a web page and not as a natively rendered application.
And then the other new thing was Citrix Workspace Cloud?
So...
Which I thought that was out, or not out, but I thought that was announced already. Like they made it seem like it's a new announcement.
People acted like it was a new announcement, didn't they? There was a lot of clapping for that.
Well, on the Twitter, there was, because I said they talked about this before, right?
Yeah. So last year at Synergy, they announced Citrix Workspace
Services
in addition to Citrix Workspace Suite, and you can imagine having two acronyms for basically for similar products that were identical was confusing. And so I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, they renamed it to Citrix Workspace Cloud. And then I still think we've seen demonstrations. We had Jarian Gibson on the podcast a few months ago, and he was talking about it with us. I think Ron Oglesby was talking about it. So it's not like it's been private information so far. So what we saw today, though, was unique, because I don't think anybody's seen it in action at large. It's just been select few.
The demo was cool.
Yeah, totally. When the demo they showed building up literally building a new workspace for a new employee, and they say, hey, you're going to get these mobile apps, you're going to get access to these web apps and these Windows apps. And they had the workspace or the management console on one side and the client iPad receiver on the other side. And he's Jesse Lipson was adding resources, and then they refreshed the iPad, and there's like more buttons in there for more things that you can get to.
Yeah, that was cool.
Jesse did a good job too as the new demonstration guy, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm going to have a meeting with him on Thursday, so we'll get a little bit more about that.
The only thing that's funny is they said, okay, so we're announcing that in Q3 we're going to announce packaging, pricing, and availability. So it was an announcement that they're going to have an announcement about that stuff coming up.
And this is also where that Blueprints thing came up.
Yeah, and that I got this from you. That you said that was the Scale Extreme stuff that they bought.
Yeah, and I honestly haven't dug into it more than knowing that it's you're creating application blueprints. I actually leaned over to Alex Johnson next to me and said, have you used this? Does it work? And he just said, yeah, it just works. So evidently it just works. So I'll have to dig into that more. The acquisition wasn't that long ago, and we haven't had an event since then. I'm sure that they're showing that off here, so that's just one of the things on my list to go check out this week.
Yeah. And, you know, this demo, after seeing both the management end and the receiver end, I mean, like, it's just working like how we've talked about EUC in this modern multi-device, modern app, modern everything era. We've been talking about this concept for, I don't know,
ever, and it's starting
to
come together.
It was.
Yeah, and that's why my reaction is not one of extreme excitement, like with the Workspace Cloud thing. Like, yeah, and we were talking about this last year too. And when Mark introduced Workspace Cloud, he went through all the projects that have been designed to do something with management or desktops from the cloud over the past 5 years. Project Blackbeard, Project Avalon, Project, was it Rainmaker or something like that? I think there were a few other ones as well, and it was like a blast from the past. But it looks like now Citrix finally has something.
But since this one also has like the Zen Mobile stuff built in and the ShareFile stuff built in and everything.
OctoBlue built in.
Was that in there? Did they show
OctoBlue? Yeah.
Wait, was there an icon up for that?
No, what it was when you add your like resources are connected back to, so it's this Zen app farm or this Zen desktop farm or whatever. There's OctoBlue is one of the choices for that. So I don't actually know what that is or how that works. But
so they have a lot of OctoBlue.
He opens this Tesla.
He's fired.
There's a lot of OctoBlue stuff here. There's some businessy legitimate stuff here, and there is some really party trick kind of frivolous stuff. I want to go see the frivolous stuff because that stuff looks awesome. It makes for great demos.
Like, what are you talking about?
Chris Fleck drove his Tesla up from Miami, and it has been outfitted with all sorts of gadgets that are going to be controlled by biometric and haptic feedback devices and stuff, which is kind of neat. But it's nerd porn. Like, it doesn't actually apply to anything that Citrix is doing, but it's something that we all want to go see just because it's interesting. They do have some more legitimate stuff that I think they're going to demonstrate tomorrow at the keynote, which is like Citrix future technologies. And that's going to be how they can apply OctoBlue, which is basically an API for APIs. They can tie in anything to anything else. And so they're going to show how they're going to tie that into healthcare and just general workplace stuff. The example that Mark likes to use noticing when people arrive in a meeting room and the meeting go to meeting starts automatically. When the meeting's over and people leave, it saves a transcript of everything and creates a transcript of everything. And some of that's kind of cool. I don't know what the actual business, how well that's going to be adopted or how fast, but
I'm still trying to get people to send emails that have the PIN code on the same line as the phone number so I can just click on it.
But right.
Although
it's gonna be a while.
They didn't mention GoToMeeting can have HTML5 client now, which
clientless.
Like, well,
they said you
HTML5. Yeah.
But the thing is, here's the thing. And I tweeted that like I think I tweeted it's like about goddamn time. Like that's my major league reference.
I think my tweet was hooray.
And some other people said, oh, that's been there. And I'm like, well, I was on a call with Citrix themselves last week, and I sure had to download the client to use GoToMeeting. So.
And I have a hard time calling these things clientless because there is a client. It's just written in JavaScript.
That's
so you don't have to install a client. That's why HTML5 client and HTML5 are the same thing to me.
Hey, just as long as I can just click on the link. I don't know what.
I don't want to install anything.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so
What happened at the end? So I had to get up and go do a spot on Synergy TV. What? Usually the "and one more thing" is something that is, you know, somewhat applicable to business. And as I was leaving, I was watching like a dancing chicken on the stage.
It was a mouse.
Okay, there was something about dancing chickens.
They have
though, right?
something. No, they have something about. It's called the Nimble Collective, unrelated to Nimble Storage. And basically, the Nimble Collective, they say that animated, like a feature film animation, all these films like Shrek and Frozen and all these are like $100 million. It takes 500 people, like 500 artists, 1 year to create 1 hour of like feature, like movie theater quality, you know, video and everything. It's just super high budgets, and there's all these animators that are coming out of animation school and just independent, like people like in their garages and stuff, and they don't really have a way to sort of connect and do things and work together and do projects that aren't like big Hollywood budget projects. So what the Nimble Collective is a group that's trying to pull together all these individual artists, and like this person does lighting, and this one does character animation, this one does scripts, this one does drawing, this one does storyboards, this one does, and it kind of pull them all together to collaborate. So that's what the Nimble Collective does. So,
okay. Citrix, what's that have to do with this?
Right. So I don't know who's paying who here, but Citrix, they did an example of how they could get together and using Citrix technology actually collaborate and work together. And so it's kind of one of those things, the demo to show GoToMeeting, a show to share a file. But it was also showing Zenapp delivering Photoshop and delivering Autodesk Maya, which is a 3D modeling, 3D animation tool.
So there's the rub right there.
And the guy on stage was so the guy on stage was showing actually live, like taking these characters and stretching and moving lights around, you're seeing it in like 3D rendering, like live, and kind of doing it all via the HTML5 clients from the Citrix like DemoNet cloud, which is probably like on a server backstage. But
I was backstage. It is impressive.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. It was so, but then they showed a little 1 minute cartoon that they built, but they did this entire everything all via HDX. So they did it all, like all the animation, all the rendering, all the drawing, even using like the pressure sensitive pencils with like the Wacom tablets or whatever people use nowadays, I don't even know, but all that through Citrix.
Oh wow.
So it was just a kind of a little thing, and I have no idea if Citrix donated this technology or if it was just a case study or whatever.
That's cool. I was just wondering how they got there. As I was walking back, the dancing chicken thing was they were talking about animal facts. And so the last two things I remember from the keynote today were hippopotamuses sweat pink, and next week is like Dance Like a Chicken Day.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So to anyone, by the way, who listens to this later, if you walk up to me and shake my hand and I do not say hello and I shake back, probably we were recording this podcast at the time, so I apologize for acting like a dick.
These mics are hard to find. We need giant boom mics.
Yeah, like signs that say, like, on the air.
$5 says that wouldn't matter.
So one thing I wanted to talk about, and of course this isn't really new news either, but the X1 mouse, because everyone that showed up here at Synergy has an X1 mouse, and after Gabe, you had a demo that Gabe was out in the San Francisco office last week or the week before, and he had a demo, and it was the first time I actually used it, and I'm like, okay, I get it. This is actually really, really awesome.
So I tweeted during the show my article that I wrote about that experience, and Simon Crosby asked a question of me. He said, do people still want to use iPads in the workplace? And I thought about it, and I think that I was so surprised when I used it, because I'd written off iPads as a viable option for using Windows applications. They were just dead to me in my mind. And so all of a sudden using this mouse, holy crap, this thing actually works and could be used elsewhere. And so that was my response to him, was it was just dead to me, but now it's a thing and I might be able to actually find a use case.
Yeah, well, I think the use case is somewhere like with the mouse now, the use case somewhere will find it. You know, I've been writing about, we have, you know, there's a certain number of applications that it will make sense to mobilize, whether that mobilization is, you know, building a native app from scratch or a mobile app development platform or reform factoring. And, of course, just Zenapp on an iPad was always one of those options. But now Zenapp on an iPad with an X1 mouse, like that just opens up a new category. It'll be one of many different options for sure.
Well,
but
here's the thing you guys are both missing. iPhones. So Mark Templeton's demo
was with an iPhone.
So it's taking, I mean, you know, you take that cord on the iPhone that connects up to HDMI outputs, and so you can already pair a Bluetooth keyboard with an iPhone. This allows a pairing of the mouse. So now the iPhone is your mobile thin client, and the look that Gabe is giving me right now is a look about the Nirvana phone. I'm not saying I support the Nirvana phone. There's a bunch of, we'll get to that in a second. But my point is, that's a big use case, is your iPhone is the thin client, and you plug it into any HDMI TV, like in the hotel, and, you know, obviously you got to have a Bluetooth keyboard and the X1 mouse with you, but now your hotel TV is your full screen for your full desktop.
All right, so this is the best Nirvana concept, like the best iteration of the Nirvana concept that I've seen.
Well, but so both Jeff McNaught from Wise and Chris Fleck are right now angrily shaking their fists at you because we bashed the Nirvana phone and the whole plugging your stuff into a hotel TV mindset because, hotel TVs aren't all that accessible, although it's possible.
They're getting there.
The primary reason that both of us agreed we didn't like the Nirvana phone concept was because I want my phone to be my phone and my desktop to be my desktop. And what happens when my phone rings and I have to answer it?
Yeah, I guess we're using a Bluetooth now headset with that. So now my phone's got... Yeah. So I'm carrying a Bluetooth headset and a keyboard and a mouse and an HDMI dongle.
Right. So viable use case, yeah, I'm sure somebody will use it like that. But for me and for, I think, a lot of people, they're not going to say, okay, well, now I can just keep my iPhone with me all the time and use it everywhere I go. Because, you know, we want more than that.
And I don't know what scenario I decide that I might want to work somewhere, so I carry my Bluetooth keyboard, my HDMI dongle, and my X1 mouse with me. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I just bring my iPad?
Yeah, and I bought a keypad or keyboard for my iPad mini, and I just wanted to try out that use case. So I feel like I saw one today. One of the other CTPs had it, and it was pretty thin. It didn't add a whole bunch of weight, and it allowed you to put the screen in a couple of different positions instead of just whatever the one airplane unfriendly position most of them do. So I just want to try it. I have it. It'll be at home when I get home from Synergy, and I'll try it out. That means, though, that I got to set up a Zenapp server.
Demo cloud, man.
Yeah, that's what it'll be.
It's funny, though, when Mark Templeton showed up on stage, his iPad with one of these keyboard kind of frame things, he goes, no, this is not the new MacBook. This is an iPad. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you mean that gigantic thing with the huge bezel and super thick frame and, like, big plastic monstrosity around it? Oh, that's not the new iPad? That's not the new MacBook? Oh, good one.
iBook. Whoa.
Yeah.
But still, essentially, Gabe, what you built for yourself is a netbook.
Yeah, more or less. But I still want to try it and see.
It's a netbook that runs all ISAP, so it's a usable netbook.
I just want to try it in the use case that it was actually designed for. And it was not designed for soft keyboards with a mouse. You know, I wanted to try it with a real keyboard and a mouse and see how it goes.
See, now if we would finally get, like, iOS apps side by side, like, two at a time, but...
Yeah, and if they find a way to make that mouse work, that's the other problem. If they can find a way to make that mouse work in the iOS, I'll call it a desktop, that's the other thing. Because I don't want to, if I'm using apps that are local and apps that are remote, I don't want to have to, like, know when I get out of this Windows app, like, oh, shit, I can't use my mouse anymore, and put that aside and start tapping at the screen. Like, I want to be able to use it all across the board.
Since iOS sees that mouse as, like, a custom accessory, basically what you have to do is, so Receiver is seeing that mouse as a custom accessory, and then whatever it's doing to render the mouse pointer.
Right.
But whatever bits are in Receiver to recognize that as a custom accessory, you could see putting those bits in other apps, like maybe the Works web app, the browser app, so then suddenly you could, like, do browser-based applications.
So I still have to tap the app, but then once I'm in the app, I can use the mouse.
Yeah, yeah. You obviously won't be doing it on the iPad home screen unless you jailbreak it or something, but...
In which case, you couldn't use apps, a Bluetooth mouse since 2011. Within
apps that are aware of the mouse. So imagine they could release this to even just, like, third-party developers that are just making whatever random app and, like, you know, have this be an SDK that they drop in, like, even for consumer apps or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's between 2,000 and 12,000 of these, depending upon who you ask, for the number of attendees here. Every attendee got one, so there's a certain number of them running around now, and maybe that's enough to get this kind of thing on Apple's radar, too, because I bet all they have to do is check a box and make it work.
It's interesting, the number of attendees here. You mentioned, you know, Citrix is saying 12,000. There ain't 12,000 people here.
I was in that room.
It's a couple thousand here, and I guess that it's the Citrix TV, like a live stream of the keynote and, like, you know, Adam and Carrie's kind of pre-show, you know, like, news broadcast kind of thing. Which Gabe and I got to join today. Jack, you'll be joining them, I think, tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good cue. So I'm ducking out right now because if you're here in the expo hall, I'll be giving a little bit of a presentation over at the Citrix booth in just 15 minutes.
Oh, awesome.
What are you presenting on?
State of Enterprise Mobility Management. It's a TED-style talk. And while I'm plugging things I'm doing this week, virtual mobile infrastructure session on Thursday.
And we're doing it at Briforum, too.
At Briforum, yes, as well.
Briforum's next week, by the way.
So Briforum London.
Yeah, Briforum London, right. And so, I mean, you guys are actually leaving here and going to London with a brief stopover. I have to go back home and then out to London. So I'll be home for, you can count the amount of time I'm at home in hours. And then
and Justin's going back home, and hopefully my Apple Watch will come in and you can pick it up for me.
Great, and then you can use your presentation with the new Citrix Slide Beam app or whatever they're calling that.
The number of Apple Watches around here, too, it's kind of stunning. I mean, I've seen it probably a dozen of them so far. And I mean, you're having such trouble waiting for yours. Apparently, the trick was if you ordered the one with the blue band, you got that right away because nobody else wanted the blue band. So, like...
And you can order the replacement band later.
So I see Sean Bass, and Sean, he gets mad at somebody that walks by, and it's Matt Lisak, who we know from ages past. And Matt's got the blue band, and Sean goes, I was an idiot and ordered the slate gray.
But they both have theirs.
He has to wait until June. No, he didn't get it. He's got to wait until June. And
hopefully any minute now for me. So I'm going to sign off now.
Yep. That'll be a fun game. Spot the Apple Watch without a blue band.
Yeah.
I bet those $20,000 ones are around.
Well, Jack stayed up, so he ordered his at 3 minutes past midnight or whatever, and still was, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or whatever that was.
I've been there.
So session. So we're doing this week at Synergy. I have a session tomorrow that's on VDI versus RDSH. We're also, Gabe, you and I, as well as Jack, are the judges, or some of the judges, for the Best of Synergy Awards.
Yep.
And so, Gabe, you and I are judging the desktop and application virtualization category.
Are you doing the Match.geek speed dating thing?
I've got that today and maybe a different day also.
So this is a kind of interesting concept. There's going to be three people at a time coming and sitting with us for a half an hour. And so basically it's networking, but people come to you. it'll be interesting. I've never done anything like that before, it should be fun. I forgot what I submitted that I would talk about, so it'll be a surprise to everybody.
Who knows if the people who sign up for you even care about what you said you would talk about. They probably have questions for you.
I can also teach how to make balloon animals. I learned that last summer.
We're also doing Geek Out, the game show here. So it's part of the Geek Speak Tonight or Geek Speak Track or one of those kinds of things.
Yep.
It'll be on Thursday at 4:30. So if anyone is listening to this and here at Synergy, you can go to geekoutquiz.com and take the qualification quiz. And then we'll take the top three highest scores from that quiz, bring them up on stage. We actually shipped our Geek Out set down here. And we'll bring them up on stage on Thursday at 4:30, sort of before the party, and do the geek out. So that'll be pretty fun.
I've actually got one of these TED-style talks, too, that Jack just left to do. Mine's on Wednesday at 1 o'clock in the Expo Hall at the Citrix booth. And it's going to be just as much about desktops as a service as you can talk about in 25 minutes.
And then other things, so with Briforum in London is next week. I guess if you're going to be in London, you should stop by, you know, sign up there. Of course, we've got Briforum coming up in Denver in July, so towards the end of July.
Before we go to, how much stuff is back behind that stage? It was so hot back there because there was so much equipment to run that keynote. I was blown away.
I'm not joking when I say, like seriously.
Two semi-trucks.
100 screens.
Yeah.
I mean, they set up, like, card tables or, like, folding tables in a little U-shaped pods. There's a person inside there, and each person had, like, 10 monitors.
Yeah. There was 20 people back there.
And there's 20 of those.
Lit up from the front.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Because it's full-on, like, video production and also, like, I think running the demo lab and the demos and everything it takes to kind of run this thing.
Yeah. Even the Synergy TV experience was... Like, I thought I was sitting in a news desk. I mean, it was just so polished. It was quite the production.
Yeah, so both Gabe and I were on Synergy TV. Mine was actually like 10 minutes before the keynote started, so mine just sort of beamed to the main screen in front of...
You were live in front of
12,000 people.
Yep.
And unfortunately, my mandate was to talk about the TechTarget Best of Synergy Awards, which, you know, we're part of. That's all fine. But so we just talked about how we're going to do that in the judging and What'd you talk? Yours was afterwards, but the keynote was shut down at that point, so yours was, I guess, just streamed. It was not actually...
It was still live in there. Like, I was on the projector behind me, and I could hear myself on the speakers.
Oh, cool.
So, but just nobody was there. Oh. So it was almost like yours, but not enough.
But you got the pain in the butt of hearing your voice booming 1 second delay behind you without actually any reason for that.
Yeah, exactly. And mine was just, what do I think about the desktop Vert announcements? Basically everything we talked about right now, except way, way shorter.
Yeah, I had 2 minutes to talk, and I kind of prepared what I wanted to say, and I got up there and was like, hi, I'm Brian, okay, awards, and then it was done fast.
What I failed to take into account was that they talk too, and that takes up time.
Oh,
so
right.
They take up 30 seconds asking questions, so you just have a minute and a half. I basically said ZenApp, Linux.
So the rest of this show this week, we're in the expo area right now. There's gigantic booths from HP, SoftLayer, NVIDIA, Intel. I mean, Citrix's booth is bigger than, I don't know, everything. So I guess, we'll kind of putz around here and see what we find this week. We've got, there's lots of sessions and stuff that we're doing. And
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Thanks for listening. And
I don't see any questions or anything in the chat room. So I guess, thank you so much. And stay tuned to BrianMadden.com. We'll be doing lots of updates this week.
Yeah, tomorrow the keynote is going to be really interesting. So I think we'll actually have some stuff to write about that will be more interesting than when we attend the one where they just sit around on couches and CTOs talk about, I don't know, business agility.
Yeah.
So this one should be way cooler. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thanks.